outset, I'd like to say I appreciate Jimmy's remarks. I would like to say just a word in defense of working mothers, though, if you will permit. Jimmy, you mentioned the Proverbs 31, and in reading through that, it's quite obvious that the effect there that the lady had was something that went outside the home. The things that she did, the work that she did, carried over outside the home. I guess the closest parallel that I could see to that today might be the family business, where the lady of the house helped out or worked beside her husband. But in thinking of what you had to say in relation to the environment in which I work, I guess you could say that ours is the corporate generation. I work for a large corporation. We consider ourselves professionals in our separate fields, and we talk rather casually about our careers, the career paths that we have to make. We climb the corporate ladder, so to speak, to take our areas of responsibility. In the last couple of decades, we've seen a lot of women invade that corporate structure. Some of them, I might add, are very competent. We have lady lawyers, we have lady engineers, we have people that slowly are taking managerial and executive positions in that environment. I guess in saying these things, in pointing out these things that do exist in the world, my question comes down to something like this: is a woman any more neglectful of her responsibilities in the home by working in that environment or something than the man might be? And like Jerry outlined it to us last night, those things that men must do in the home, quite often we get so wrapped up in our careers and in our work that we think very little of having to be gone from home overnight, or in other words, having to delegate our responsibilities in the home. Our children sometimes suffer from our lack of presence. Not one to point fingers at anything, but I can think of, you know, the long haul truck driver that may be going home several nights, several weeks at a time, or something of that nature. So would the woman, in taking her place and working outside the home, be any more neglectful if she were an executive, had to be gone overnight for a business meeting, or something of that nature? Is that any more wrong than the man in neglecting his responsibilities in the home and having to depend on somebody else to carry on for him? Would you want to comment on something?
I just don't want to even address anything about being more wrong. I don't want to deal with any more wrong. One thing is more wrong than another, and I don't even want to deal with that at all. And I just can't. It didn't just say keep the house, you know. And I can't take that ad out. That's all I'm saying, you know, for that part. Is I just can't take that ad out. And it just plainly says keepers at home. In fact, a woman can keep the house, can get in the way of keeping the home. A woman that stays at home all the time can keep that house, and Daryl make him play in the street, don't come in my house and mess it up, and keeping a house and got in the way with keeping a home.
Lonnie York.
I want to say amen to things you said, Jimmy. I'd like to just make two comments. On Titus, the second chapter, something I say when I teach on those verses. And considering the things we said thus far in the study, you know, we men can do an awful lot as far as teaching. We have the primary responsibility of teaching. But you know, there's no way I can teach a young lady how to love her husband or love her children. There's no way I can teach a young lady those things that we find there in Titus. I think one of the most neglected works that we have in the church today, one thing that's needed more and more, and if we would do what Titus says there, or Paul tells Titus, if the older women would take into their responsibility to really instruct, teach the younger ladies these things, I think we'd see future generations far, far stronger in this area than we've ever seen before.
Thank you, Lonnie. By the way, I have a couple of books here. As Wayne said, don't recommend many outside the Bible, but I do these. And one sister asked me today, how does the older one do it? Boy, here's the best, one of the best little books by Rachel Hyard, In the Hands of a Woman. Johnny's trying to get that book. I called him a little over a week ago, and he tried to call and get it. I asked him to for the study. That's one of the finest little books that I've ever put my hands upon. And it helped the older women use some of these things in teaching the younger women. And then a book is a job really worth it. And if I had chosen the theme of this subject, this would have been what I'd have talked on. And that was the reason. She deals with every reason that's put up. And it's a well-documented little works. And I'll be glad to give you the addresses for how to get a hold of these books after. And she makes a mention, and I'll not try to hog it all. She makes mention that in most digressive churches, and that's where she don't call them that because that's what she is. But at any rate, she makes a mention in that in nearly every one of them, the preachers teach the young women, teach the adult classes in every one of them. And women, on a one-on-one basis, you're better prepared than anybody because you've been there. You've been through. You've had to do without. There's been years you didn't get a new dress. And it really enthuses the young ones when you can tell them how you got through and how others got through. You are well equipped.
Just one more thing, too. I've been saving this comment because I thought at this time it would be best to say it. There's a lot said last night about education and psychology. And a lot of people know I'm trying to get my teaching credentials right now. And the psychology, educational psychology, they are teaching universities now, at least the ones I've been to, is changing from humanistic psychology to cognitive psychology. And one of the greatest men in that is Eric Erickson. And one thing he says is that with children, there has to be a primal person there, or that is either a mother or father, and he stresses the mother, throughout the genitive years of that child. And he means throughout their growing up, their early school, and through their school. And that there has to be that home influence. And he says the mother is the primal influence all the way through those developing years.
Thank you, Lonnie. And I was hunting here to give the psychologist who's had a beaten some in this little boost, but Dr. Spock, and I can't find it right now. He preaches what I preach tonight.
Over there where he's talking about, you know, the older women teaching the younger to love their husbands, I've heard some preachers preach on that love there, you know, and let's say that phileo love, which if I believe right, if I remember right, that word is phileo, is not agape. They say the only love you can teach is agape love. And I think that might be worth mentioning. If they look that word up, it's phileo, and phileo love can be taught just as well. Another thing was on that Proverbs 31, I thought that maybe Solomon had in mind Shulamith, his wife. He may be using her as an example of some things she did, and she was able to do these things because this man had all the money, you know, that he could use, and she could just go out and buy anything and hire servants to do it all for her. So evidently, I think that's what he's using, his wife, as an example. It's not necessarily, like you said, it's not necessarily that she's going out and getting a job or anything like that.
I don't claim to know none of that Greek, but I know this. It wouldn't be hard to agape somebody you liked. Amen. So it couldn't be hard to love somebody you liked. And so it's all right to me if that's it. But the greater scripture would always embrace the lesser. And the greater would have to be Titus 2, 3 through 5. And so it embraces. You know, if we're going to use anything, we can't use Proverbs to explain Titus. We got to use Titus to look at Proverbs.
Terry Bays.
A question I've had a lot of women ask me, I'd like to see what you have to say about it. Is it all right for a woman that's married to work outside of the home before there are any children and then after all the children are gone? Second of all, does a woman also, as well as a man, have to leave father and mother and cleave to her spouse? I like your comments on that. And maybe perhaps some of the dangers involved if that does not happen. Thirdly, would you please comment on Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Does that apply to the man and wife in the marriage relationship? And if so, would you comment on that?
can't remember all of them, man. You might help me out. What was the first one? I'm too busy listening to the last one.
Is it all right for a woman to work outside of the home before there are any children, or and after the children are gone?
I really don't know. Some of those are maybe judgment matters. I just know what the rule says, you know, and that's just all I can do. And I'm not trying to dodge. I'm not trying to be inconsiderate. I'm not trying to condemn women that work outside the home. In fact, I'm not discussing, didn't mean to be discussing them. I meant to be discussing really basically the Bible. And I really don't know about those things. You know, I do know the rule is her sphere is domestic. The second one. I'm about to get to the last one first.
The second one is a woman required to leave father and mother and cleave to her husband? And would you make some comments on that?
Well, I don't know how she could submit to him if she didn't leave him. You know, would be my way. You know, I don't know how she could submit to her husband if mom and dad is still bossing her and she did everything they wanted her to do. Don't have any way, idea of the way she could. Now, well, we're down to Ephesians 5 now. Okay. I really wouldn't say that was, in the context, doesn't seem to me to be in the marriage relation, though it would encompass it perhaps, but not exactly what it's talking about, because, you know, the context, redeeming the time caused days of evil, 16, and then be not drunk, wine, 18, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, 19, 20, giving thanks always for all things of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another. To me, it's in the fear of God, that would be Christians, much corresponding as in honor preferring one another.
Dennis Smith.
Jimmy, someone in the audience would like you to address yourself to this, and perhaps this would concern the woman and the influence, even though she does not have children. Someone would like you to address this question. Is it just as important for the older woman or the younger woman who does not have children to consider the example and influence she has on, in the case of a younger woman, her peers, in the case of an older woman, younger women, by working and leaving that role that is so definitely spelled out in the scriptures? Should she not, is it not just as important for them to consider their influence on younger women when they work outside of the home?
In my judgment, it's much like a preacher preaching something you don't practice. You know, in my judgment, it'd be much easier for that woman, young woman, to take it. Otherwise, we having such a hard time raising kids. Yeah, y'all not having it hard, you know, and in my judgment.
Chuck Simmons. That's all I've got on the list. Does anyone else have done?
You mentioned 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe. Chapter 2, verse 15. And I know there's been some discussion on this, and it's kind of a scripture that's been kind of hard for me to understand. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I'd like to have you make a few more comments on that. Is that saying, the question has been brought up to me, is that saying that a woman's place is to have children, and if she does not have children, then the question goes on, she won't be saved?
Okay, of course, as I mentioned, McKnight, you know, and I've heard, been told of others that preached it, that was referring to Christ coming through woman. And I admire a lot of McKnight's writings. But I've got to agree with James Burton Kaufman when he says, all kinds of fanciful interpretations of this verse have been advocated, but in all probability, childbearing is a synecdoche for the entire status of women in their relationship to God and men. Drumlow was correct in seeing the meaning thus. The woman shall be saved by keeping simply and faithfully to her allotted sphere as wife and mother. There is no reference to the birth of Christ nor to any promise of salvation based solely upon the biological function of childbearing.
I'd like to also state that I believe that that passage, it's my belief anyhow, I could be wrong. And the reason why I argue this way is that I think there's an exception. And I'm not talking about, a lot of people will say, well, what about the woman that cannot bear children? Does that mean she cannot be saved? Well, I don't believe that that's the case, because the idiot who cannot understand the gospel, I believe, will be saved. That, you know, that's an exception to the rule. And the woman who cannot bear children, you know, she wants to bear children. She wants to do what she believes God wants her to do, and that's to bear children, bring fruit unto the Lord, is not going to be condemned because she cannot bear children. There's an exception to the rule.
God will never condemn you for something you can't do.
Right. Amen.
Jimmy, I appreciate very much what you said and agree wholeheartedly. One question that's usually brought up to me whenever I mention things along the same line is the case of Lydia in Acts the 16th chapter, who was a seller of purple within Thyatira, and her household were saved, which would we would assume from that she had a family, and the scripture says she was a worshiper of God. How would you answer that?
Well, McGarvey takes some of that household, not necessarily being children, but some workers that live with her and work there. And he takes more of the position of maybe business that was carried on from within her house that might have carried some of it to the marketplace or some in the daytime, but some of the days. But I just still, you know, the rule, we don't see a husband in that either. Husband is the provider. And see, I'm not saying that no woman can ever work outside the house. Does that answer it?
Yes, that's basically what I've said, but I just wondering if you'd deal with this a little.
Edward Morris.
In 1 Timothy 2:15, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness, right? You're not going to be saved because you're a preacher. I'm not going to be saved because I'm a preacher. But if I continue in the faith, I can be saved. She's not going to be saved because she bears children. But if she bears children and continues in the faith, she's going to be saved.
Seems like an implied law here would be to it, and that some it might get back to partly Proverbs 22:16, which is an implied general rule. She taught the right things, you know, in faith.
These women teaching the younger women, and I agree with all. What do you do in this day and time when they won't let the aged women teach them? What about the younger women? Won't let the age.
That's one I anticipate.
Why try to keep you sit down?
I'm glad that she's under submission and you're ahead there and asking. Well, that's the same as asking, what does preachers do when women won't listen to them on her? You know, I mean, that's the way I would, you know, approach it. I just say, woe be unto us when we don't show respect to our elders.
Amen.
Woe be unto us. And woe be unto the wife.
I've had young men come to me and want to talk to me about preaching or different things. And I found that they want me to tell them what they want to hear. And if I don't tell them, had a young man some time back. He questioned me on a certain thing, and I'll be truthful, I tried to avoid it, but he just kept on, and finally, in love, I gave some constructive criticism that I really think and still think and other brothers think that would happen. But I made an end. But that just has to be. I'll leave the rest of them off.
Thank you, Edmund.
Dennis Smith.
Jimmy, several things have been mentioned about the woman in Proverbs and Lydia. And I think we're confusing here the two different types of work that they're doing. Now, your mother most likely, and I know her, not as well as you, but I admire her also. And my mother and a lot of mothers who did not go out of the home and worked, had chickens and sold eggs, made extra money for the family, made extra money to do things with. In Africa, there's hardly any family or any home where those women do not, during the day, in their spare time or whatever kind of time you want to call it, crochet things, and they sell those things. I don't believe that they neglect their responsibilities and their roles in the home by doing that. And it's not a violation of that. And I think that's the type of work that we see the women doing in aiding and assisting in the sustenance of the home or getting having the means to do things with in the home. Not the going out of the home and being away from the home and being away from those other role models.
My mother sewed for her mother, herself, four daughters. And us boys made our shirts even with the button-down collars. Worked to past midnight every night. Got up before daylight every morning. Sewed for half of the church. And the doctors say that's part of the her cause right now for her health.
Brian. There's a statement made to me just recently I'd like you to comment on, Jim, that moves away somewhat from the wife herself to the younger woman being taught. And that's if we allow our daughters to get a job themselves, that'd be contradictory to what we're teaching them to be keepers at home.
Well, you know, younger women, he taught them to marry too, from bear children, got the house. Me, that might come under where some of the widows were forced to get jobs or what have you. There are some young women. You know, I just don't know. Elderly.
As we said already, I guess, making money, women making money is not the issue. It's women leaving their God-given responsibility to make money. Women being smart or capable of functioning in a corporation is not the issue. It is leaving what God has designed for her to do is the issue.
Is there a question over here?
Yeah. Excuse me. It seems to me that I've been doing some reading and I find that God can't put women in a position to be in submission to her husband. That was the primary reason for that. That's one of the reasons. And I wanted to just comment on an idea that when a woman goes outside of the home and begins to work in an environment, she must be in submission to her authority and then the job, which in most cases would be another man. And I'm wondering if that can cause problems with her own being, and the fact that she has to submit to more than one person who has an authority over her, who's not her husband. And if that can have an effect on her attitude in the house, on the way she or looks at her husband is, because you know they live and she's working with her husband all the time and he's always there, but here's out in the working world the excitement, you have another man, an authority, who she must respect and must submit to, and I'm wondering if that can cause some of the problems we have with divorce and so forth because of that.
There's no doubt it spurred the divorce because they're not dependent, you know, too, on the man. No doubt about that. But now, I see myself as a protector of women in this, not as one suppressing upon them. I see that there are no super moms that can hold a job all day, keep the house clean, and keep everybody cooked, and then listen to everybody else's troubles. There is no woman that's got the fortitude that can stand up to all of that. So I see myself as a protector of women. I really do not see myself today, and I may be what I don't see myself as. But I do not see myself as inconsiderate of you, my sisters. I see myself as right the other way. Say a word of encouragement. You know, where we focus is important. The nurse focuses on her goals of meeting the patient's needs and being a part of the healing, not on bedpans and changing sheets. The secretary focuses on doing a good job for her boss, not on erasures, correcting mistakes, running errands, and cleaning her desk. Life may not be an exciting challenge every minute of every day for full-time mothers. But what job outside the home is going to be? As one woman said, there's bedpans out there too. There's dirty diapers out there too. A job exciting out there? A telephone operator plugs and unplugs, plugs and unplugs, plugs and unplugs all day, every day. Medical pathologist examines microscopic slides and bacterial cultures from morning to night. The dentist spends a lifetime drilling and filling, drilling and filling, drilling and filling. Attorney reads dusty books in a secluded library. An author writes page after page after page. A mailman, when he delivers all that mail one day and sorts it out, there's a stack there that big again. The next day, the same thing. Dr. Dobson says, no, I doubt if the job of a housewife and mother is much more boring than most other jobs. But as far as importance of the assignment is concerned, capital, N-O, no job can compete with the responsibility of shaping and molding a new human being. I thank you.